Okay, we begin here with the Mishnah on Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shnei Achim Nisuim Shtei Achayot. So it happens to be that this Mishnah was quoted back on Daf Lamed when we dealt with it, which is you have two brothers that are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Umeit Echad Mehem. And one of the brothers passes away. Ve'achar kach meita ishto shel sheni. And then afterwards, the wife of the second brother passes away. So in this instance, if Reuven passes away and Rachel now falls to Shimon for Yibum, he cannot perform Yibum with her because she is Achot Ishto. He's married to Leah right now. Therefore, Rachel is Achot Ishto. But then, after Reuven has passed away, Shimon's wife, Leah, also passes away. So at this point, Achot Ishto has disappeared because remember, the Isur or the Erva of Achot Ishto only applies when his wife is alive, whether she's married to him or not. But as long as she's alive, the Isser applies. But now that she's passed away, the Isser has gone. So maybe in that case, you would have think she could perform Yibum now. Harizu asura alav olomit. She is asura to him forever. Hol v'nesra alav sha'achat. Because at the moment that Reuven passed away, at that moment, Rachel was asura to Shimon. Even though later on, when Leah passes away, Rachel now becomes available, in a sense, because he has no longer an Isur Erva anymore. Nevertheless, the original Isur that was there does not leave. Gemara says, Pshita, this Mishnah is very simple. Because, Pshita, Hashta, Umahatam, Delomidachia, Mahai Beita, Legamre, over there, in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed, where she was not pushed out entirely, Amar Tlo, there you said no. Over here, where she is knocked out completely, lo koshikain. This goes back to the Mishnah that we saw in Daf Lamed, where you had three brothers, two of which were married to sisters, and the third who was married to a woman who was not related. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Then Reuven passes away, and now Rachel is available for Yibum. At this point, Shimon cannot perform Yibum with her because it's Achot Ishto. So Levi does have the ability to perform Yibum with her, and Levi goes ahead and performs Yibum with her. Then later on, Levi passes away, and before that happens, Shimon's wife also passes away. At this point, is Shimon able to perform Yibum with Levi's original wife or with Reuven's wife who's now married to Levi? The answer is no, the Mishnah says, because once she was asura to him for sha'achat, asura olamit. So the first time she fell to him, she was asura because she was achot ishto. Second time she falls to him, Rachel, she remains with that iser and it doesn't dissipate, doesn't go away just because his wife passed away in the interim. So the Gemara is saying here, knowing that Mishnah on Daf Lamed, then in that scenario where this woman still had Yibum performed with her, after Reuven passed away, Levi was able to perform Yibum with her. Nevertheless, we still said, vis-a-vis Shimon, she's a surah olamit. In our Mishnah here, where when Reuven dies, there's only one Yabam, who is Shimon, certainly there we're going to say a surah olamit. What's the chiddush in this Mishnah? Gemara says, Tana ha Tana Beresha. V'hach chazil hetera. Our Tana wrote the Mishnah over here first, the Mishnah that's on our daf. And that Mishnah that we just quoted back from Daf Lamed, he thought was mutar. He thought, ain ochanami, once Levi married Reuven's wife, that cleared the decks. And when Levi passes away, Shimon could marry her. He thought it was mutar. Visharya. And so therefore, he thought it was mutar. He didn't write it down to be a surah. V'hadar chazili surah. And then he retracted and said, no. You know what? She's also a surah. Because she was a surah at one moment, doesn't matter what happens afterwards, she remains that way. So even though this Mishnah on Daf Lamed Bet was taught first, nevertheless, since the Mishnah on Lamed was a bigger chiddush to him because he changed his mind, the Tana, he thought it was once mutar, now he says, no, it's asur, he put that first. But this Mishnah, lo zaza mim koma, since this Mishnah was already taught, we're not going to let it move. It's the same answer we gave on Daf Lamed. This is a similar answer that the Gemara is using over here, which is, eno chanami. This Mishnah is not a Chiddush. This Mishnah is unnecessary. The reason it's here is because it was here originally. This Mishnah was here originally. The other Mishnah was a later addition. That Mishnah was a later addition, so why did it go first? It was a later addition because that Mishnah was a bigger Chiddush. Originally we thought it was Mutar, now we thought it was Asur, so it went first. But the original Mishnah, which chronologically was first, this Mishnah on Lamed Bet, remains in place. And therefore we can't expect to see any Chiddush out of this Mishnah. The Mishnah is truly extraneous, but stays in place because it was here in the original layout of the Mishnayot. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Ba'alea, Chayav Alea Mishum Eshedach, Mishum Achot Isha, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Now, according to most of the Rishonim, including Rashi over here, we're talking about a case where his wife is still alive. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, we're talking about a case here where his wife passed away. It's very hard to read the Gemara that way, because you would assume it's continuing the case from the Mishnah. In the case of the Mishnah, his wife passed away. But if you use that scenario, the remaining part of the Gemara is very difficult to understand. And therefore, Rashi and almost all the Rishonim believe that the scenario here is where Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and Rachel and Leah are sisters. In that instance, if, for whatever reason, Shimon has relations with Rachel, then he has two problems. He has a problem of Eshedach, and he has a problem of Achot Isha. Now, the assumption here is that Reuben passed away already, because otherwise it would also be a problem of Eshedish. So the assumption is that Reuben's passed away. This Yivama is not Re'uya to him, because she's a Achot Ishto. So there's Erva that's blocking her from being a Yivama. So she goes free without anything because of the fact that she's an Erva. If, despite the fact that there is no Yibum over here, Shimon still performs Yibum with Rachel, what did he violate? So here Rabbi Yossi says he violates Eshedach, because she was his brother's wife, and she's not Muteret B'Yibum, that makes her Eshedach still. Umishum Achot Isha. And she's also problematic because she is his wife's sister. So you have two problems here that he's encountering. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Chayav El Mishum Eshedach Bilvad. The only thing that he's Chayav for over here is Eshedach, the fact that she's his brother's wife. Vahatanya, don't we have a bright Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Chayav El Mishum Achot Isha Bilvad? Don't we have... Right, so don't we have a brayta that says that she's only chayevet for achot isha, meaning that you have two isurim here. We have one brayta telling us that Rabbi Shimon thinks the problem here is eshedach, and we have one saying that he thinks the problem is achot isha. What's clear is he doesn't think they're both a problem. He thinks you're only chayav for one, but which one of them? The Gemara says, lo kasho, that's not a problem. Kan shenasachai v'achakach nasameit. Now, over here, in terms of mate and chai, we're talking about the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is mate because he passed away. Shimon is the remaining brother that remains alive. The question is, who got married first? You have two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Who married one of the sisters first? Was it Reuven, the mate, that married the sister first? Or was it Shimon who married the sister first? So that's what the Gemara says, lo kasha. The two statements of Rabbi Shimon relate to the order in which these sisters got married to Reuven and Shimon. So, kan, shenasachai, Shimon married the sister first, va'acharkach, nasameit. And then Reuven married the sister. So in that instance, which Isur came first? If Shimon married Leah first, then Rachel was first asurah to him because of achot isha. Later on, Reuven also marries Rachel. That adds on the additional problem of Eshedach. That means that the first Isur that was here was the Isur of Achot Isha. On the other hand, the other way around, Kanshanas a mate, if Reuven married Rachel first, then the problem of Rachel vis-a-vis Shimon is a problem of Eshedach. Later on, Vachakach Nasachai, Shimon marries Leah, he adds on the additional Isur of Achot Isha. So the question is, which Isur came first? Why is that the case? Because Rabbi Shimon believes, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. One Isur cannot fall on top of another Isur. Once something is Asur, you can't put another Isur on top of it. It's already Asur. So Ein Isur Chalal Isur. We'll speak about this in 1 second. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Eicha Denasa Meit V'Achakach Nasachai. In an instance where Reuven married first, And then Shimon got married. In that instance, Reuben gets married to Rachel. Vis-a-vis Shimon, Rachel is a problem of Eshedach. Then Shimon marries Leah. He should have added on the problem of Achot Isha. But Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And there's already an Isser of Eshedach. That means that for Shimon, looking at Rachel, there's only one Isser here, which is the Isser of Eshet Ach. Even the Isser Achot Isha Lo Chayo. If there's no Achot Isha here, Titya Beim Yevume. Why doesn't he perform Yibum over here? If the only Isser is Eshet Ach, then when his brother passes away, Yibum comes and overrides Eshet Ach. There's no Erva over here. We said there's no Erva because Achot Isha never took effect. So Amar Rav Ashi, again, this is something we saw earlier in the Masechta. Isser Achot Isha Mitla Tali. It's waiting. It's Tole Ad until it finds a place to settle down. Ipaka Isser Eshet Ach. If the Isser Eshet Ach goes away, then Ati Isser Achot Isha V'chayel, it fills in the vacuum. So it's just waiting for a vacuum to fill. If there is no vacuum, then the Isser will not apply. But if a vacuum is created, then that Isser will come and fill in the void. As long as the original Isser is there, then there's any Isser Chal Isser. As soon as the original Isser goes, then the second Isser comes in and fills in that void. And we have a similar concept, I mentioned this earlier in the sect as well, by Shvuot and Nidarim. Say here that Ein Shvua Achar Shvua, or Ein Shvua Chal Shvua, that is only true if the first Shvua is in effect. But if for whatever reason the first Shvua goes away, either you got a Hatara, you got rid of it, then the second Shvua is waiting. It's Poreach Bavir and waiting, and then it takes effect. So even though it cannot be Chal originally, it awaits the chance to be Chal. That's the same thing over here. The Hilkach Lo Paka. And for that reason, it's not Paka. And even though earlier in the Masechta, Beit Shammai said, if you hold Ein Isser Chalal Isser, this takes the Tzara, the co-wife, out of a position of Eshet Ach, and the Isser of Eshet Ach is not Chal over here, what you have to say, Tosafot says, is that Rabbi Shimon and anybody else who holds of Ein Isser Chalal Isser doesn't necessarily have to subscribe to that position of Beit Shammai. Just because we say that the Eshet Ach is not Chal over here, does not mean that the context in which the Isser takes place is outside of Yibum, and therefore the Tzara, the co-wife, should be Muteret. That is the Shita of Beit Shammai back on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. But we won't necessarily apply that same logic here to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon believes that the Eshet Ach is still present, and since it is still present, that's enough for us to say here that it is the context of Yibum. And since the context of Yibum, the Tzara, the co-wife here, will not be allowed to marry the Yabam. And now the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Yossi's Shita, which, based on the way the Gemara is learning now, Vesavra Rabbi Yossi, Isser Chalal Isser. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold Isser Chalal Isser? Because we're saying here, Rabbi Yossi says, you're Chayav for both. If you're Chayav for both, that implies that you think Isser Chalal Isser, because Rabbi Shimon is arguing and saying, ain't Isser Chalal Isser, and it depends which Isser came first. So let's just take a moment. This is one of the main sugyot in Shas with regards to Isser Chalal Isser or Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And therefore, I just want to discuss it a little bit, and it will help us with the upcoming Gemara. First of all, what is the reason that Ein Isser Chalal Isser? What's the reason behind it? So there is a Tosfot Tishanim earlier in the Masechta, I think on Dav Yud Gimel, that says that the reason Ein Isser Chalal Isser is a svara. It's a logical argument. Once something's asur, what's the point of making it more asur? If it's already asur, there's no reason that it should be any more asur at that point in time. That's one argument about why Ein Isser Chalal Isser is a svara. The second and the most prominent one is the fact that umeti bo ki yichalalu, there is a restriction against a kohen tamei eating truma. Kohen tamei that eats truma is subject to a chiyuv mita bidei shemaim. And the Gemara over there says about umeti bo ki yichalalu, what happens if the truma is also tmeya? There's a restriction against eating from Atmeya. There the Gemara says, the only time that there is a problem of a Kohen Tamei eating Truma is when through that eating he profanes the Truma. But Prat comes to exclude a case where it's already profaned. I mean, the Truma is already Tmeya. So therefore, you don't have a concept of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Now there the Torah is telling you that through a limud in the Pasuk. But what the Rishonim say is that Pasuk is teaching you the paradigm. The paradigm is that, yes, when he's a Kohen Tamei, and he eats the Truma Torah, he has done something that violates the truma, and therefore he's chayav. But if the truma was already tameah, the fact that he is tamei now makes no difference anymore, in a sense, because ein iser chal al iser. And based on that example, they extrapolate that to kol haTorah kula. There is a third approach, which is that it's just the gzerat haKatuv. Since the gzerat haKatuv is that by iser mosif and iser kolel, iser is chal al iser, the implication from that is, in shar kol haTorah kula, ein iser chal al iser, as a derivative of that gzerat haKatuv. So those are the basic logic behind it. The second thing you have to ask is, when you say ein iser chal al iser, what does that mean? Here there's a machloket rishonim and achronim about this. The Meiri over here in our daf says that when you say ein iser chal al iser, that means that you cannot be punished for both iserim, but both iserim exist. There are two iserim here. We just can't make you culpable for the second isur because of the concept of ein iser chal al iser. Therefore, there are two isurim, but the onesh is either suspended or you're not held culpable for that second isur, but it still exists. Part of what the Meiri is proving it from is what the Gemara we just said here, which is what happens when the isur of Eshet Ach disappears. The void is filled by Achot Isha. So he's saying, look, the two isurim are really still here. We just suspended the onesh in the meantime. So that supports this view of the Meiri. I think it's also the view of the Avnei Miuluim, the Primigodim, also take this view. On the other hand, the Kovetz Harot, Rav Elchanan Wasserman is Harot on Masechet Yevamot, on this daf, he brings down this question, and he's medayik both in the Rambam, as well as in Tosafot from tomorrow's daf, that they both believe when we say Ein Iser Chal Iser, the second Iser is not there at all. It's gone completely. Ein Iser Chal Iser means no Iser. Iser is gone. And the Rashash in the Darim also says something similar. So here you have these two tzadim about how we view Ein Iser Chal Iser. Does it mean simply that the Iser is here, but all culpability or connection is suspended? Or do we see that the Iser completely is gone? There isn't an Iser here at all. Forget about Onish, there's no Iser here. That does have nafkaminot, like we do by the case of commonly the Rabbi Minei, where when a person is faced with two punishments, and we give them the more chamor punishment, what's the status of the lesser punishment? When we say commonly the Rabbi Minei, we give them the higher of the two punishments, does that mean that the lower punishment is subsumed in the higher punishment, and it's not there anymore? Or do we say, we just can't punish him. You can't kill him twice, you can't punish him twice, therefore we give him the more chamor. But the other one exists. The question is, does he have to do tshuva on the other one? Is he, quote-unquote, yotze with this punishment? Let's say yidei shemayim. So the same might be true here with regards to ein iser chal al iser. Someone is in violation in that instance. Is the iser still here? He just can't be punished for it. Maybe he has to do tshuva for it. How does he deal with the other iser? Or do we say that the iser is gone completely? There is no iser here, and he only has to deal with the iser that he is in front of him. So there is a nafkamina how you view this. It won't be in the realm of punishment. It won't be in the realm of dealing with it in Beit Din, but it will have to do with the person's doing tshuva and trying to rectify that situation. So that's one machloket. The second thing, and this is going to come up the remainder of the daf, is even if you hold ein iser chal al iser, there are exceptions to the rule. The exceptions, two exceptions to the rule that are mentioned are iser mosif and iser kolel. And that is, if you have an iser mosif, an iser mosif is the chefta, the object itself, now has more iserim that are associated with it. So they are piling on more iserim onto this object, and that can happen in one of two ways. That can happen because the iser that you're adding is more chamur. Let us say here, originally there was only an iser achila. Now not only is there an iser achila, there's also an iser hana'ah. That could be one way. Or the way that you can have an iser mosif is that there are more people than now are asur in this object. This object is now subject to more people who are asur to that object. So those are two ways that you can have an iser mosif. The mosif can be in the severity of the isur, or because here it was only achila, now it's hana. Or it can be a mosif is that originally this was only asur to one person, now it's asur to many people. So that's two ways to have an iser mosif. And most people, even if they hold in iser chal al iser, believe that iser mosif is an exception, and it's a migo. Migo that the Isur applies, let's say here, to Hana'ah, and not just Achila, the additional Isur, Therefore, it also adds on the achila piece of the additional isur. Or, migo, that this now object is now usur to other people, it will also be usur to the original person who was already usur in this object. That's how isur mosif works. On the other hand, there is another area where, here there's much more machloket about it, whether isur chal isur can be overcome by what's called an isur kolel. An isur kolel is not about the chefsa itself, but for this individual who is once asur in this chefetz, more things have been added on. Nothing to do with the chefetz itself, not to do with this individual, but more individuals are now asur to this person. So if those more individuals are asur to this person, does that add on an additional isur? That migo allow you to add on the object itself as well? Again, we'll get to this in today's daf. We'll see examples of this. The difference between them, and Tosafot mentions this on Amud Bet, is that by isur mosif, we don't look at the nature of the additional isur. Whereas by isur kolel, Tosafot says, if you think that isur kolel is good enough to overcome the problem of ein isur chalal isur, he says it's only true when the isur, the second isur is more chamor, number one. And number two is it's shem achat. They come from the same problem, same issue that's here. If it's shnei shemot, if they're two different isurim, then we're not going to add it on by isur kolel. So it has to be the same type of isur that you're trying to add on by isur kolel. It can't be a different isur that is the isur kolel. It's important also to know, my brother-in-law pointed this out to me, that many times when you talk about isur mosif and isur kolel, it depends on from whose perspective you are looking at this. So when you're dealing with a man and a woman, many times what's an isur mosif for the man turns out to be an isur kolel for the woman. And what's an isur kolel for the man is an isur mosif for the woman. So how do you judge in these cases whether it's an isur mosif or it's an isur kolel? So it turns out that the Chazon Ish, and I also heard that Rav Yosef Engel says the same thing, says that we always are governed by the perspective from the Ish, from the man's perspective, and that's how we judge. So even though from the woman's perspective it might be an isur mosif or an isur kolel, that has no bearing because we look at it from the man's perspective to determine the isur here. And from the man's perspective, it's either an isur mosif or an isur kolel, and that governs, despite the fact that for the other individual, it might be that it was just the opposite. There is a third exception, which we will not get to in today's daf, and that is the exception of a bat achat. If both the isurim are chal, take effect at the same moment in time, then the principle of ein isur chal isur might be suspended, because you can't determine which one's first in order to say that the second one doesn't apply. They both apply because they both happen simultaneously. Okay, so that's just background in terms of ein isur chal isur. Now the Gemara is going to plumb some of these issues that we discussed and just give you a big perspective on it because we're going to go through some of the details now. Which is the Gemara now asks, V'savar Rabbi Yossi isur chal al isur? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold isur chal al isur? Because here we're saying that if he violates the restriction against performing yibum with this woman because it's a chot ishto, he said he's chayav for eshet ach, and he's also chayav for achot isha, which implies that both isurim exist over here. And it's clearly one of the two happened first. Either Reuven married first, or Shimon married first. Depending on which one of them married first, one of the isurim applied first. V'ha tanya. Don't we have a braita that says the opposite for Rabbi Yossi? Avara veirash yesh bashtei mitot. If person violates an avera that involves two death penalties, nidon bechamura, then he's only subject to the more strict or stringent of the death penalties. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon Bezika Rishona Abalav. He's only governed by the first problem. Here, Zika doesn't mean literally Zika like we're talking about until now in the Masechta. Zika means the first Isur that he encountered, that's the one that he's held culpable for. Vitanya, and we have a bright over here. Kate said, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Nidon Bezika Rishona Abalav. What is the case? How is this scenario? Chamuto v'naseit eshedish. So in a case where he marries a woman, and his mother-in-law at that time is single. Her husband had passed away, and she's single. So the only isur for this son-in-law vis-a-vis his mother-in-law is chamuto, that she's his mother-in-law. Then, afterwards, v'naseit eshedish, she remarries. She has a second husband. Now, not only is she chamuto, she's his mother-in-law, she also happens to be a shadish now. She also happens to be a married woman, which brings on the isur, nidon b'chamuto. Over there, he's governed by the first isur that happened. The first isur was mother-in-law. On the other hand, Eshet Ish, if his mother-in-law is married, when he marries her daughter, and now she becomes his mother-in-law, but before she was his mother-in-law, she was restricted to him because she was a married woman. Since she's a married woman, that Isur preceded the Isur of Chamuto, of being his mother-in-law. So it was first, she was an Eshet Ish to him, then an Asid Chamuto. When he marries the daughter, he adds on top of that Chamuto, then Nidon be'Eshet Ish. In that instance, then Eshet Ish governs because that was the first Isur that came. You should know there's a Machloket Rishonim as to what it means to be the first Isur. It's Machloket Ravid and some of the other Rishonim. The Ravid says that it's the first Isur to come into the world. It's the first Isur that applies in general. Whereas most Rishonim, the Ramban and others say that's not the case. It happens to be vis-a-vis this individual, which is the first Isur that came about. Not which Isur existed in the world first, but rather which Isur applies to this individual first. So now, over here, it makes it sound like Rabbi Yossi is saying you can only get punished for one of the two, and the governing factor is which Isur came first. That sounds very similar to Ein Isur, Chalal Isur. So Amar Rabbi Abao, Mode Rabbi Yossi be Isur Mosif. Rabbi Yossi agrees, even though he says Ein Isur, Chalal Isur, which is brought out by the Braita that we just quoted, that the first Isur is the most important one. Nevertheless, he will say Isur Chalal Isur when it's an Isur Mosif. So that's what we discussed just a couple of minutes ago. Isur Mosif means that this object now has more Isurim associated with or more Chamur Isur associated with it. Tinach. So that works well. Hecha denasa chai v'achakach nasa meit. So let's go back to our scenario over here where he goes ahead and performs Yibum with the woman that was his brother's wife, but is also Achot Ishto, who he shouldn't have performed Yibum with. Over there, Rabbi Yossi says he's culpable for both Eshet Ach, as well as Achot Isha. Now, that depends on the order in which these Surim happened. He says, Tinach, it works well, Eichad Nasa Chai. Shimon married Leah first. In that instance, it makes sense. Because when Shimon married Leah, Rachel only was Asur to Shimon as Achot Ishto. But, first of all, for all the other brothers, she is Muteret. As well as the fact that she's also Muteret, the Kol HaOlam Kulo. Then, V'achakach Nasameit. Then Reuven marries her. So now when Reuven marries her, he adds on some additional Isurim here. First of all, he adds on the Isur of Eshet Ach. All the other brothers are now restricted in this woman because she's Eshet Ach. She also happens to be Eshet Ish, but that will go away when Reuven passes away. So the Gemara is not discussing that. But Eshet Ach is added now, and that not only applies to Shimon, it applies to Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun. This is what we call an Isur Mosif. She is now Asur to more people. She was previously only Asur to Shimon. Now she's Asur to all the brothers because of Eshet Ach. So Migo, the Tosif, Isur the Gabi Achim, since the Isur vis-a-vis this woman, Rachel, is now added to all the brothers, Itosav Isur the Gabi Didei. It's also added for Shimon. That's called the Isur Mosif. So even though it's in Isur Chalal Isur, in the case of Isur Mosif, this Migo allows you to add the Isur to Shimon. Since now Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun are also just added the Isur Eshet Ach, so too that Isur Eshet Ach will be added on to Shimon. Elahecha denosa meit. But in the case where Reuven married first, the Isur of Eshet Ach came first. V'achakach nasachai. At this point, when Shimon marries Leah, what has he done? He added on Achot Isha. Achot Isha doesn't add on an Isur to anyone except him. There's no one else who the Isur added on for. The other brothers are already restricted in Rachel because of Eshet Ach. The only thing that changed now when Shimon married Leah is that Rachel is now also Achot Isha. There's no Isur Mosif here. So how does that solve your problem? My Isur Mosif Ika. What Isur Mosif is there over here? So in this question, the Gemara is saying, okay, you explained the Braita is that Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Isur Achalal Isur. You tried to explain the first statement of Rabbi Yossi that there's a Chiyuv Eshet Ach and a Achot Isha because he says Isur Mosif overrides Ein Isur Achalal Isur. The Gemara says that only works in one direction. It only works in the case where Achot Isha was first and then Eshet Ach was added later. But in the case where Eshet Ach was first and then Achot Isha is added on, there is no Isur Mosif over here. The Gemara says, V'chei teima migo de itzar b'kula achvata. Ha Yisr Kololhu. Oh, wait a minute. That was the other category of Yisrim we spoke about. There actually is something that happens when Shimon marries Leah. Vis-a-vis Rachel, you're right, nothing has changed. Before, Rachel was Asur to Shimon and all the other brothers, and she still remains that way because of Eshedach. Now, Shimon tried to add on Echot Isha, that's an Yisr Chal Yisr. But there is something else that happened. When Shimon married Leah, not only did he cause a problem of Echot Isha with Rachel, he also now makes Rachel and Leah's sisters, Bilhah and Zilpah, they have additional sisters, are now also Asurot to Shimon. So that's what we call an Yisr Kolo. Rachel, for Rachel, there's no other Yisurim added on here, because she was already Asur to all the brothers. There's no Yisr Mosif. Yisr Mosif views or looks at the object of Yisur here, which is Rachel. And for her, there is no other Yisr added here. There's no Yisr Mosif. On the other hand, for Shimon, when he gets married to Leah, he creates Achot Isha, not only with Rachel, but with her sisters as well, who were previously Mutarot to him. Zilpah and Bilhah were previously Mutarot to Shimon. When he now marries Leah, he adds on those additional Yisurim of Zilpah and Leah. That's called an Yisur Kolel. There are more people now involved in this Yisur, not vis-a-vis Rachel, but the Yisur itself has a wider net than just Rachel. Not just Rachel, it hits Bilhah Zilpah. That's called the Yisur Kolel. So what are you going to say here? Since when Shimon marries Leah, that adds on these additional Yisurim to Zilpah, Bilhah. Hi, Yisr Kololhu. That's only an Yisr Kolel. All the Rishonim, including Tosafot, ask over here, well, how do you know that Rabbi Yossi doesn't think that Yisr Kolel overrides? Because we have opinions like that. So Tosafot says, first of all, it's not so simple. Now, even though technically you could, according to Tosafot, have said that Rabbi Yossi believes that Yisr Kolel also overrides any Yisr Kolel Yisur, nevertheless, he says that it's not such a strong logical argument, because by Yisr Mosif, it makes sense that it overrides. But Yisr Kolel, it's not as straightforward. The Ritva says we actually have a proof that he doesn't hold of Yisr Kolel because of the case of Chamuto and Eshed Ish. The fact that he divides up between Chamuto and Eshed Ish, even though in the case where she was in Eshed Ish first and then became Chamuto, became his mother-in-law, there's no Yisr Mosif because she was already a Surah de Olam. But there is an Yisr Kolel that's associated with Chamuto, because now he becomes Asur in all of the relatives of the woman that he married. Not only his mother-in-law, but all the other relatives. Despite the fact that there's an Yisr Kolel over there, Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Yisr Kolel Yisur. So the Ritva says, based on that, you see that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold the Yisr Kolel. And that's why the Gemara is not willing to have Rabbi Bo's Shita have Rabbi Yossi say that there is an Yisr Kolel Yisur by Yisr Kolel. Now that will be undermined in tomorrow's daf, because Rabbi Chia is going to say in tomorrow's daf that ain't Ochanami, that Rabbi Yossi holds that by Yisr Kolel, Yisr Chalal Yisur. And then based on that opinion, you have to come back and explain why Yisr Kolel didn't affect Eshed Ish and Chamuto, and that's what Tosafot is dealing with here. It has to be Shem Achat, and it has to be more Chamur. And that's what Tosafot over here describes here, the requirements for when Yisr Kolel applies, and why that's not true by Eshed Ish and Chamuto, because you require both that it be more Chamur and that it be from Hashem Echad. And that's missing in the case of Eshed Ish and Chamuto. Nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't think that. Ella Amar Rava. So now when Ella Amar Rava, whenever the Gemara says Ella, we learned this before, that means that the Gemara is now dropping the previous stance that it had before. So what is it that is being dropped over here? According to Rashi, the Ella is the Olam lately the Rabbi Yossi Yisr Kolel Yisur. He does hold an Yisr Kolel Yisur, and he does not have the exception of Yisr Mosif. That's the way Rashi learns that there are other Rishonim that learned that we didn't change that. He holds an Yisr Kolel Yisur, and he holds that Yisr Mosif also works to overcome it. What about the case where it was Eshed Ach first and then Achot Isha, where there is no Yisr Mosif? That's what the Gemara is answering. The problem here is, I make it look like as if he is Chayav 2, but he's only a Chayav 1. We look at it as if he was violation of both, and he's only punished for one. This is like what the Meiri said before. Even when you're saying, Yisr Chal Yisr, both Yisurim are still there. It's just a question of which punishment is going to get brought out over here. So my Nafkamino, what's the Nafkamino that you say to here that there, as if he did both of them? But he's only Chayav Echad. So in the case of Chamuto and Eshed Ish, It's as if he violated both of them, but we only give him a punishment for one of them. So my nafkamina, what's nafkamina? To bury him amongst the Rishaim Gimurim. To bury him amongst those Rishaim that are complete Rishaim. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Right, the different areas in the cemetery for Rishaim. Rishaim are not allowed to be buried next to Tzadikim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the mitot beitin are actually divided up. The more chamor mitot beitin get buried in one location, the less severe of the mitot beitin get buried in another location. So Rashi claims here that af gav dahi lav michayvei beitin, who, even though this guy is not one of those that's going to get punished for chayvei mitot beitin, nevertheless, hol v'avad tarte, since he did two isurim, kavrinan le gabi niskalim v'nisrafim. We put him by the ones that are of the higher form. So the way Rashi learns it over here, that we put him by the Rishaim Gemurim, is that he goes to the worst part of the cemetery. The part where we bury those people that were Chayav, Srefa, and Skila. And therefore he's put in there. Whereas many of the other Rishonim, including Tosafot over here, disagrees and says, this has nothing to do with the issue of Beit Din and Mitot Beit Din. It's just the basic principle that we segregate the cemetery. There are normal people, there are Rishaim, and then there are super Rishaim. And in doing so, many of the Rishonim change the girsa here not to be Rishaim Gimurim, but rather Rishaim Chamurim. And based on that, they disagree with Rashi's interpretation here that the Rishaim Gimurim references to the locations where Beit Din buries the individuals, but rather refers to being segregated in the cemetery where people who violate two severe Isurim are buried. And he goes into the category of the super Rishaim part of the cemetery. And that's all it has to do with. It doesn't have to do with this, the cemetery of Beit Din, where they segregate by the nature of the mitot Beit Din. Over here, it has to do with the regular cemetery and nothing to do with mitot Beit Din, because we're not talking about mitot Beit Din over here. So now, according to this, we had two approaches to dealing with Rabbi Yossi. The first approach to dealing with Rabbi Yossi is to say that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. And then, why is it by our case that he says you're chayav for Chodisha and for Eshet Ach? Because it was an Isur Mosif. That was the first approach. What about the Braita? The Braita, he's either Chayav for Chamuto or Eshadish. And that is because of one or two reasons. Either Ein Isur Chalal Isur, or even in the case where it's an Isur Mosif, for instance, where it was his mother-in-law first, and then she became an Eshadish, she got married afterwards, that's an Isur Mosif. Nevertheless, over there, when both Isurim exist, because there's an Isur Mosif, you still only get punished by the Chamura. So in that instance, the Chamura happens to be Chamuto. Chamuto is the more Chamur. So the reason he gets Zika Rishona is for one of two reasons. Either he gets Zika Rishona because Eshet Ish was first, and Chamuto is Ein Isur Chalal Isur. So Chamuto doesn't get involved at all, and that's why he gets punished for Eshet Ish. In the reverse, where he marries in, she's Chamuto first, and then she becomes Eshet Ish, there it is Isur Chalal Isur because it's an Isur Mosif. But nevertheless, you get punished by the Zika Rishon of Chamuto, because Chamuto is more Chamura, because that's Sreifa, whereas Eshet Ish is only a din of Chenek. So that's how we explained it the first way. The problem became, which is that only works in one direction. That only works if the Isur of Achot Isha came first, and then Eshet Ach came afterwards, because then it's an Isur Mosif. But in the case where you have Eshet Ach first, and then only then did the Isur of Achot Isha come about, there's no Isur Mosif al Isur. If that's the case, then how do you explain Rabbi Yossi's statement that you're chayav for both of them? So Elam Rava. Rava comes along and answers. According to Rashi, we just dropped this whole thing. Elam Rava here is that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. He does hold Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and he does not have the exception of Isur Mosif. That'll explain the Braita. Why in that case is he chayav for either Chamuto or Eshet Ish? Because whichever one came first, that's the governing Isur. The second one doesn't take effect because Ein Isur Chalal Isur. What about the case of Eshet Ach and Achot Isha? If he holds Ein Isur Chalal Isur, then why is he culpable for both of them? Because we're dealing a case of Mezid. And since we're dealing with the case of Mezid, you're right. We cannot make you culpable for both of them because we can't kill you twice. Nevertheless, we're going to look at this and say, the Isur that he violated over here was really a serious Isur. It was a double Isur. It was an Isur of Eshet Ach, and it was an Isur of Achot Isha. And even though, in general, we're going to say Ein Isur Chalal Isur, nevertheless, this individual, the sin that he did, we have to look at the sin through the prism of what was really here. He had a problem of Achot Isha, he had a problem of Eshet Ach, And even though Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur, so he will not be culpable in terms of if he did it b'shogeg to bring two chataot, and even b'mezid, obviously he can't be killed twice. Nevertheless, the outcome or the nafkamina about this is that he will be buried in the place of Rishayim Gemurim, which according to Rashi means that he'll be buried in that part of the cemetery that goes to the most severe of those that are executed by Beit Din. And according to Tosafot, he's in that segregated section of the really bad Rishayim that have violated two Yisurim that involved a death penalty. So that's the way that Rashi learns over here. So Rashi learns that Lolam late lay the Rabbi Yossi Yisur Chal Yisur, he holds any Yisur Chal Yisur, and there is no exception of Yisur Mosif. That's the way Rashi learns. I told you that there are other Rishonim that learned that we didn't change that. He holds Ein Yisur Chal Yisur, and he holds that Yisur Mosif also works to overcome it. What about the case where it was Eshet Ach first, and then Achot Isha, where there is no Yisur Mosif? That's what the Gemara is answering. There, in that case where it's not a Yisur Mosif, there's still this problem of he really violated two things, even though Ein Yisur Chal Yisur, nevertheless, he still violated it. So that's the question of how to read the Elam HaRava. Rashi says we've just dumped the whole thing, and therefore it's Ein Yisur Chal Al Yisur, period. There's no exception for Yisur Mosif. And what he meant in that Braita when he was arguing Rabbi Shimon was not that Yisur Chal Al Yisur, but simply this is the nature of the violation of this individual is that he violated two things, even though technically he's not going to be in violation of them because of Ein Yisur Chal Al Yisur, still the severity of his aveira, of his action, is much greater because of the nature of that being two Yisurim. That's why Rashi learned it. Other Rishonim learned, no, that Yisur Mosif does work. And therefore, in the case where it was Achot Isha first and then Eshrach, there really are two Yisurim over here. And in the reverse case, that's what the Gemara is answering. In the case where it's Eshrach first and then Achot Isha, there we say that, okay, you're right, there is no Yisur Mosif, but nevertheless, the severity of the Yisur is there, and therefore we're going to bury him with the Rishayim Gimurim. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring up here three cases, machloket between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi, and they're going to bring examples in each of these cases of the exact same machloket. So we're going to go through the machlokot today, and then tomorrow the Gemara is going to break down and try to understand what the meaning behind them is. Now the meaning behind them is clearly has to do with Yisur Chal Al Yisur and Yisur Kolel, all of that. In the interim, the Gemara gives secondary reasons, which they break to quote over here, as to why they think that this might be the case. But these are all secondary reasons, not the primary reasons, which we'll deal with tomorrow. Ubeplukto. This machloket that we're discussing over here, we have a similar thing in a machloket, which is Ditmar. Zar Shishimesh Bishabbat. A Zar who's a non-Kohen goes ahead and does a voda in the Mikdash on Shabbat. Let's assume that it's a voda with the korbanot tzibur, which are mutarim on Shabbat. What is he culpable for? Rabbi Chia omer chayav shtayim. He is chayav two. Bar Kapar omer enu chayav ela achat. Says he's only chayav one. And when Rabbi Chia says chayav shtayim over here, according to Rashi, it says that he's in violation of bet yitzri kachashiv. Because the hamishum zarut ain't kan chatat. Zarut is only an iser lav. It doesn't result in a chatat. Da'az dono mita bidei shemaimu. If you do it on purpose, intentionally, there's a mita bidei shemaim. And you're not chayav chatat, el shigigat karet. So since there's only a mita bidei shemaim or a lav that's involved here with regards to zarut, there you can't be talking about shogeg and bringing two korbanot. So Rashi says we're talking about a case of mezid and how many surim he violated. On the other hand, the Ramban over here believes that the violation here is the number of punishments that he'll get. Because he'll get Malkot over here. Because all of these violations are a violation of a lav, shenitan lazharat mitat beitin. A lav that leads to a more severe punishment in beitin. The Ramban believes that you get Malkot for such a lav. And therefore, in all these instances, the question is, how many Malkot, sets of Malkot do you get? Do you get one set of Malkot or two sets of Malkot? And that's a Malkot here between Rabbi Chia and Bar Kapara. Kafaz Rabbi Chia ben Nishba. Rabbi Chia jumps up and takes a shvua. Havuda kach shamati mi Rabbi. I'm telling you, this is what I heard from Rabbi. Rabbi is their Rabbi. Rabbi is the Rabbi of Rabbi Chia as well as Bar Kapara. And therefore he says, this is what I heard from Rabbi. Shtayim. Kafaz Bar Kapara ben Nishba. Havuda kach shamati mi Rabbi achat. I'm telling you for sure I heard from Rabbi one. So the Gemara in Shvua deals with this issue of whether this is called a shvua sheker or not. It could be that, first of all, they're both right, and that they're not lying, that Rabbi changed his mind. And therefore, both Shvuot could be right, and therefore, there is no Shvuot checker over here. Or, even if we figure out that one of them was wrong over here, It may not be a Shvuat Sheker because this is what they remembered hearing, and they're taking a Shvuah to reinforce what they thought they heard. It's not Sheker based on what they know now and what the information that they have. They're taking a Shvuah. It was the truth that they had assumed at that time, therefore it's not a Shvuat Sheker. But there they both take a Shvuah, which seemed to be mutually exclusive. Gemara says either that's not problematic, or maybe they aren't mutually exclusive because Rabbi changed his mind. But then, Hitzkel Rabbi Buchia Ledon, Rabbi Chia says, let me think about this. Shabbat b'chol nesra. Shabbat was a surah to everybody. Ukushu hutra b'migdash. When we allow the violation of Shabbat in the Migdash, it's ukanim hutra. That was for the avoda of the Kohanim. The Kohanim hutra v'lo lezarim. That's for the Kohanim, not for the Zarim. Therefore, yeshka mishum zarut v'yeshka mishum Shabbat. This person who's doing avoda in the Migdash in Shabbat is in violation of Shabbat because he doesn't have that dispensation, and he's in violation of Zarut, of the fact that he did avoda when he was in a Zar. Hitchol bar kapara ladun, Shabbat lakol nesra. Shabbat is a surah to everyone. Kushutra, b'migdashutra. The heter is in the Migdash. That's Kohanim, Zarim. Whoever, the avoda in the Migdash is mutar. So then, ain't kanela zarut. The only problem here is that he's a Zar doing the avoda that otherwise would have been mutar in the Migdash by a Kohen. So here's their machloket. Are you chayav once or are you chayav twice? So now, balmum, shishimesh bituma. You have a Baal Mum who does a voda, bituma. Rabbi Chiyo Mer Chayev Shtayim. He's Chayev Two. Bar Kamar Omar Eino Chayev El Achat. He's only Chayev One. As Tosfo points out over here, the reason that it didn't say Zar Bituma is because a Zar is not Muzar in Tuma. The Parsha of Ein Nazru is written for the Kohanim. So if it was a Zar Shishimesh Bituma, then there would be no restriction over here and the question wouldn't get off the ground. That's how most of the Mishonim learn. The Meiri says that there is a restriction that would get off the ground. And the same is true the other way around. You could have done a Baal Mum with Shabbat, and that would have been a question. And Ochanami, they could have asked the question. They didn't do that because they just wanted to give one example of each of these scenarios. Kofatz Rabbi Chiya ben Nishba, Havuda kach shamati mi Rabbi. I'm telling you for sure this is what I heard from Rabbi Shtayim, that he's chayev too. Kofatz bar kabar ben Nishba, Havuda kach shamati mi Rabbi. I'm telling you for sure this is what I heard from Rabbi Achat, one. Hitko Rabbi Chiya ledun, Tuma lekol Nesra. Everybody is a problem vis-a-vis the Migdash and the Kodesh when they are Tamei. Tumat Aguf causes a problem. You can't eat Kodeshim. You can't enter into the Migdash. Kishuhutra b'Migdash el tu Kohanim. When is it Mutar in the Migdash? That's with Kohanim. That's Tuma Hutra b'Tzibur. When you're dealing with the Korbanot HaTzibur in the Migdash, then we say Tuma Hutra b'Tzibur. Therefore, a Kohen Tamei, who's not supposed to perform Avodah if there are Kohanim Torim and they're not the majority, nevertheless, if he performs a voda with the korbanot tzibur, he's not culpable because tuma hotra b'tzibur. So in the mikdash for the kohanim, that is waived. Kishuhotra b'mikdash, it's a kohanim tamim hotra. When it was mutar, made mutar in the mikdash, that's only true for kohanim who are tamimim, who can do a voda. Kohanim tamimim hotra, below the bali mumim. That's not for bali mumim. Bali mumim are not allowed to do a voda, period. So why should it be hotra to them? So therefore, yeshka mishum bali mumim, yeshka mishum tuma. This Kohen who goes and does the Avoda is in violation of two things. He's in violation of doing Avoda when he's a Baal Mum, and he's in violation of doing Avoda when he is Tamei. Whereas Hitchel Bar Kabbalah doing Tuma Lekol Nesra. Tuma is a surah for everybody when in relationship to Kodesh and Kodoshim. Kishuhutra b'Migdash Hutra. Where is it Mutar? In the Migdash. Anything that deals with the Tzibur in the Migdash, that's Mutar. Doesn't specify who it's Mutar for, it's just Mutar. So ain't kanela mishum Baal Mum. The only problem he has here is that he's a Baal Mum doing the avoda. So that problem of Baal Mum is what's here. The problem of tuma that's waived in the Migdash of Tumat Tzibur. Zar shachal melika. A zar that eats melika. Melika is the way that the Kohanim deal with the korbanot oaf in the Migdash. If you do this outside the Migdash, the bird is a nevela. Shechita is the only way to kill a bird that makes it kasher. In the Migdash, melika acts like shechita. So Rabbi Chiyo Omer Chayav Shtayim. The Zahar that eats it is Chayav Shtayim. Bar Kavar Omein Chayav El Achat. Kavaz Rabbi Chiyo Benishba. He swears, Avodah Kach Shamati Mi Rabbi. I definitely heard this from Rabbi Shtayim. He's Chayav 2 here. Kavaz Bar Kavar Benishba. And he takes the Shavu'ah. Avodah Kach Shamati. I'm telling you for sure I heard Mi Rabbi Achat. That it was one. Hitchel Rabbi Chiyo Ladun. Nevela Lechol Nesra. Nevela is Asur to anybody. You kill it from the back of the neck, the bird. Everybody calls that a Nevela and it's Asur to everybody. Kishuhutra Migdash. In the Migdash, where you kill in that way, you do melika. You put your thumb through the back of the neck of the bird, which is the equivalent of making a nevela. Nevertheless, in the Migdash, that's okay by korbanot ha'of. It's a kohanim utra. That's only by Kohanim, because the Kohanim are doing the Avodah. So the Kohanim would travel all the Zarim. So now you have a problem. Yeshka Mishum Zarut. The fact that he did Avodah with a Zar. Yeshka Mishum Melika. And there's a problem of Melika. Hitkal Bar Kabar Ladun. And now Bar Kabar says this. Nevela Lekol Nesraf Shutra. Bimigdash Shutra. In the Migdash, Nevela doesn't apply because Melika is like Shchita there. So therefore, in Kana Mishum Zarut. The only thing that is left here is a problem of Zarut. The way that it's being phrased in each of these Brightot, the question revolves around, when something is mutar, do we see it as being hutra legamre? It's only mutar vis-a-vis those individuals who it's applicable to. That's what's going on in these brightos. But the Gemara says here, clearly, the Gemara thinks that that's only secondary because, b'maika miflege. What are they arguing about? The Gemara says they're arguing be'isur kolel valiba de Rabbi Yossi. They're arguing about whether isur kolel applies to Rabbi Yossi. Which over here, the Gemara had assumed that Isser Mosif, if you think Rabbi Yossi held Ein Isser, Chalal Isser, and there was an exception, we'd only have an exception for Isser Mosif. We would not have an exception for Isser Kolel. Here, the Gemara says, that's exactly the machloket over here. Whether Isser Kolel applies to Rabbi Yossi's position, he's matirit. B'Isser Kolel, v'alibet Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chia Savar, Rabbi Yossi, b'Isser Kolel, michayev. That Rabbi Chia thinks that Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to an Isser Kolel, Isur chal al isur. And since Isur is chal al isur, you're chayav shtayim. So therefore, you're mechayev tarte. That's why you're chayev two. Bar kapara sarvar lo mechayev el achado. Rabbi Yossi only holds that, that is, you're chayev one. So now, if we go back to before Rabbi Abahu's suggestion, Rabbi Abahu's suggestion over here is that Rabbi Yossi holds of ein isur chal al isur, and is an exception of isur mosif. The Gemara then rejected Rabbi Moses' suggestion and says, because then you have to also add in Isser Kolel. But here, Rabbi Chia is basically saying that, yes, that the way that Rabbi Yossi's opinion works is that Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel override. And therefore, in the case of Achot Isha and Eshet Ach, one's an Isser Mosif and one is an Isser Kolel. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says you're chayav in both of them. In the case of Chamuto and Eshet Ish, I spoke to you about the Tosfot before, he says the reason it doesn't work there, Isser Mosif might work there, but Isser Kolel does not work over there because they're Shnei Shemot. They're two different Shemot, and therefore Isser Kolel has no application over there, even according to the one who says that Rabbi Yossi holds of Isser Kolel. But then Rabbi Chia is going to explain all of these situations here, that Isser Kolel applies, and that's why you're Chayav too. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf will discuss what is the Isser Kolel in all of these instances. On the other hand, Bar Kabara Sever lo Mechayev El Echado. The Rabbi Yossi in that instance was only Mechayev one. Then, how do we explain Rabbi Yossi's position before? Okay, again, with the Braita, it's easy to understand why. He says, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, so therefore you're only Chayav for the first one. In the case of the Achot Isha, and the case of Eshet Ach, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, why is he saying you're Chayav too? That is what Rava taught us. Rava taught us that when he said you're Chayav too, that's not because you're really Chayav too. That's just a question of the severity of the Isser that you violated. How do we look at this Isser that you violated? Did you simply violate one Isser? Or did you violate two Isserim? And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. You're right. Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So by an Isser Mosif, where it's Eshet Ach after Achot Isha, maybe you can say there that there's an additional Isser, depending according to who you read El Amarava. But according to Rashi, who says that Ein Isser Chalal Isser is across the board, then the whole statement of Rabbi Yossi about Achot Isha and Eshet Ach both being culpable for both is simply about the severity of the Aveira that this person violated. You're right. Isser Chalal Isser, so it's either Achot Isha or Eshet Ach. One of the two he's going to be culpable for. But when we go to bury him, the act that he did was a pretty severe act. And that means that he violated both Isserim. Again, that's supportive of that position of the Meiri. And we say Ein Isser Chalal Isser, the Isser's still there. We just don't punish him for the other Isser. The other Isser is there, so when he violates it, he's in violation of both Isserim. It just happens to be he won't be punished for one of them. And that's why Rabbi Yossi treats him as a Rasha Gavur. So from Rabbi Yossi, the Miri will extrapolate to the other opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, that what does that mean? It means that you're not punished. It doesn't mean that the Isser is not there. But other Rishonim are obviously going to believe that it's not the case. That's true of Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Shimon believes the Isser is gone, and means it's gone the Gamre. Alright, so that's the machloket here in Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Tomorrow, we'll spend time on the three cases that we just brought, discussing why they are in Isser Kolel. The Ramban makes an interesting point over here in regards to these three cases. He says that the Gemara here is discussing Ein Isser Chalal Isser in different problems of severity. The last one, which is a problem of Nevela and Zar are both Isurei Lav. They're both Isurei Lav. Do we say Isur Chal Isur by Isurei Lav? In the previous two cases, you had an Isur Lav, and then you added on either an Isur Skila, or you added on an Isur Karet. In the case of Zar, Zar is an Isur Lav. Then you add on top of that the Isur of Shabbat. Shabbat is an Isur Skila. In the second case, you had Isur of Balmum, and then on top of that, you added on the Isur of Tumat Mikdosh Uktoshav. We're dealing with a Lav and a Chiyuv Karet. Because someone who eats Kodashim enters the Mikdash, the Tumat Aguf, is Chayav Karet. So what the Ramban is saying over here is that there's actually the differentiation in these cases, they are layers here trying to determine whether Isur Chal al Isur. That's why we have three different Machlokot to teach you. In each of these cases, do we say Isur Chal al Isur? Because is it only when it's the most severe skila we say Isur Chal al Isur? Or in each of these cases, do we still say that there is an Isur Chal al Isur even when it's just two lavin? And that's what the Ramban says. Others don't see that differentiation, but the Ramban says, otherwise why am I bringing three Machlokot about the exact same thing? That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says it's because it's come to teach us that Isur Chal al Isur has implications in all these different levels of severity. Okay, we'll stop over here, three lines down on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph.